the Gospel of John, chapter 5. Gospel of John, chapter 5. And as always, I strongly encourage you, I advise you, I beg you, follow along in your own Bible. You say, well, why do you always remind us of that? Well, for one thing, because doing so will actually strengthen your faith. The way the Spirit of God speaks to you is through the Bible, through His living Word. And when you see that what you're being taught is coming straight out of the Bible, it actually strengthens your faith. So please, open to John 5. But as you open there this morning, fair warning. Fair warning. Uh-oh. We're going into some deep waters this morning. What you're going to hear today is somewhat difficult to understand. The great late Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this in his sermon on this passage. He was the minister in England. He said, I am not asking you to understand everything I am going to say. I myself do not understand everything I am going to say. Unquote. Well, the same is true of me this morning, but I'll tell you what the good news is. The good news is the God of heaven knows that we need milk and we need meat. This is going to be meat, okay? This is going to be meat. So you'll need to follow along. Our meaty text for this morning is John 5, 16 to 23. And the title of the message is also the goal of the message this morning, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. John 5, beginning at verse 16, for this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Now, there's a lot here, you know, and my job is to help you to understand it. And to do that, I want to first just give you the big picture, okay? A couple of points, really 4 points, just from the big picture. When I'm done with those four, that's just the introduction, okay? Sermon to follow. But first point is that this is Christ bearing witness about himself. Christ is bearing witness about himself. If you look down at verse 31, Jesus explains what he's doing here. He says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me. Jesus is bearing witness of himself, but not by himself. He's going to bear witness about his relationship with the Father, and he's going to say, John the Baptist taught that, the Scriptures taught that, Moses taught that, the Father taught that, so you must believe it. So Jesus is bearing witness of himself. Second, more specifically, Jesus is bearing witness of his relationship with the Father. In the words I just read you, he mentions the Father 7 times. He uses the word Father 7 times. This is all about Christ's connection, his relationship with God the Father. Third, and even more specifically, Christ's point in all that he says about his relationship with the Father, the main point, the point that you have to get and that you must believe, is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is so equal with God the Father that all, verse 23, should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. That's the great gospel truth that is all throughout John 5, that all, that is all people everywhere in every generation, that all should, that is, this is the only good, wise, and right thing to do, all people should honor, that is, respect, obey, admire, believe, value, all should honor the Son, that is, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, how highly? Just as, that is, just as highly as they honor God the Father. And if not, they dishonor the Father. And finally, I just gave you 3 points of big picture. Did you catch them? Christ is bearing witness of himself. He's bearing witness of his relationship to the Father. And his relationship is that he's so equal to the Father that all should honor him just as they honor the Father. They should honor Christ as the Father. But fourth, and I brought this out last time, fourth point under big picture, Jesus is saying this to unbelieving Jews who want to kill him. He's saying this to unbelieving Jews who want to kill him. And why is he saying it to them? Verse 34, in order that you might be saved. Verse 34, I don't receive testimony from men, but I am saying these things that you might be saved. And beloved, before we go any further, take a lesson from Jesus Christ just from the big picture. That lesson is, we must be bold to preach Christ as God, just as Christ was bold to preach Christ as God. Because many people today are just like these Jews to whom Jesus speaks. They think they're right with God. They think they know God. They think they're honoring God, when in fact, in everything they do, they are dishonoring God. Think about it. Jews do not honor Jesus Christ as God, do they? No. And they're dishonoring God. Mormons don't honor Jesus Christ as God, do they? No, they don't. And they are dishonoring God in all of their religion. Jehovah's Witnesses don't honor Jesus Christ as God, do they? Shake your head this way. Go this way. No, they don't. And they are dishonoring God in everything that they do. Muslims don't honor Jesus Christ as God, do they? No. And they are dishonoring God. But everyone I just mentioned, Jews, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and Muslims, all believe that they are honoring God. But not only that, there are many Christians, professing Christians, in the churches today who believe they're honoring God, but they don't honor Jesus Christ. They don't respect him, as the kids said. They don't obey him, and they dishonor God. They need to hear the truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of Christ, Romans 10:17. And here, Christ bears witness of himself, saying that the Son is so equal to the Father that all should honor him just as they honor the Father. That's just the big picture. Time for the details, which are extremely important, because what Christ says here concerning himself is valuable for your Christian life, it's helpful for the gospel, and it is super interesting. What he reveals by his words in verses 16 to 23 is all the reasons why he should be honored just as the Father. And there are 5 reasons. Jesus Christ is equal with God the Father in works. Jesus Christ is equal with God the Father in will. Their will is one and the same. Jesus Christ is equal with God the Father in ways. Their ways are one and the same. Jesus Christ is equal with God the Father in words. Their words are one and the same. And those all add up to number 5. Jesus Christ is equal with God in worth. Their worth is one and the same. Take a look. First, Jesus Christ is equal with God in works. This is in verses 17 to 19. Now, in verse 17, it says, but Jesus answered them. Stop there. I'm skipping 16. We kind of covered it last time. Jesus answered these Jews whose main accusation was, you have broken the Sabbath by working on the Sabbath. Listen to Jesus' defense. It's super interesting. Here's Jesus' defense, why he works on the Sabbath. You know why? Because God works on the Sabbath. Verse 17, but Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. That's it. By the way, take a tip. great defense for why you might work during a lockdown. My father has been working, and so we're working. If that doesn't ring any bells, some of you might remember 2020, not so long ago. Like, why would you be holding worship? Because our father is doing work, and this is essential business. That's why we're doing this. This is Christ's defense. Now, the fact that God had been working until now, or since the dawn of creation, this was well accepted by the Jews. They would have no argument if Jesus had said, you know, God has been working since the dawn of creation until now, including on the Sabbath, because Jewish rabbis had debated the question of whether or not God breaks the Sabbath. And they concluded, no, he doesn't. Even though the keeper of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps, Psalm 121, even though the God of heaven is always providing for his people, always protecting, always preserving them from their enemies and the evil one, even though God works on the Sabbath, God is not guilty of breaking the Sabbath. So notice Christ's defense. Oh, you want to accuse me of breaking the Sabbath? Well, I'll tell you my answer. My Father is working till now, and I am working. That's why I work on the Sabbath. That's a great defense. They didn't like it. Verse 18, therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God, as in equal in nature. Why? Because if you were to say, I am the son of so-and-so, like I am the son of Pete, that is basically to say, I am just like my father. To the Jews, you were equating yourself to the nature of your father. And Jews did not say, my father. Individual Jews didn't say that. You won't find it on the lips of Moses or Elijah or any of the other ones. They would say, our father, but not my. So the Jews latched onto that and sought to kill him all the more. Now, you might expect Jesus at this point to go long on how equal he is to the Father in nature. He does not. Instead, everything he says adds up to that. And he responds by saying that he is equal with the Father in, first and foremost, works. Verse 19. Now, pay attention. Take a look here. Verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, answered. They didn't ask a question. He's answering their accusation, which they didn't even voice. He knows their thoughts, okay? He's answering the accusation that he's equal with God. And he says, in summary, you are correct. I am so equal with God that you should honor Jesus, the Son, as much as you honor the Father. But first, it's because Jesus is equal to the Father in works. Most assuredly, I say to you, that's worth two verilies in the King James. I just learned that today. You could trade that in for two verilies. Verily, verily. Amen, amen. There's no room for doubting here. Don't doubt this. It's 100% true, and you must believe it to be saved. Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, that's whatever the Father does, the Son also does in like manner. Now, we'll come back to that first part about he can do nothing of himself. But clearly, you can see that Jesus Christ is saying that whatever the Father does, the Son does also, and in the same way. What's he saying? He's saying Jesus Christ is equal with the Father in works. Now, you've got to think about this for a moment because the implications are fascinating. Who created the world and everything in it in six literal days, making all of it very good? God the Father or God the Son? Both, yes. God the Father and God the Son. Read Genesis 1 and John 1 and Colossians 1, and you'll see that. Who created man in his own image and in his own likeness, creating them male and female? There are only two genders in the world since the dawn of time, just a plug and a shot at the same time. Who created man and woman? God the Father or God the Son? Yes, both. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, Genesis 1:26. Who sustains the heavens and the earth and all they contain? Who upholds all things by the word of his power? God the Father or God the Son? Yes, both, God the Father and God the Son. You could read Psalm 104 and Hebrews 1. But getting a little bit more personal, who saved you from your sins forever and ever, set you apart from ungodliness to holiness, who has promised you and who will give you an heir, an inheritance in the kingdom of heaven that can never be taken away, God the Father or God the Son? Yes, both. Study Ephesians 1. And the clear point is that all three members of the Trinity are involved. I was reading this to my wife this way. I said, let me give you my sermon in brief form. She got the three-minute version. And she said, what about the Holy Spirit? And I said, the Spirit is the one who had John the Apostle record these words of Jesus and preserve them to this day for you. He's here, right? But Jesus' point is that the Son is equal to the Father in works. So, beloved, do not believe the lie that is so common today that Jesus Christ is not the God of the Old Testament. Oh, I don't like the God of the Old Testament, but I like Jesus. Then you don't like Jesus. Jesus is the God of the Old Testament. Let me ask you this one. Who commanded the children of Israel to go in and kill, yea, utterly destroy all the Canaanites, men, women, and children, to show them absolutely no mercy, to utterly destroy their altars, smash their sacred pillars, crush their carved images, and never intermarry with a single one of them? God the Father or God the Son? Both. That's Christ, equal with the Father in works. Jesus says, bearing witness concerning himself, whatever the Son sees the Father do, the Son does also in like manner. Now you might say, well, how should we picture this? Rodrigo and I are trying to, like, how do you picture this? Is it like, well, the Father starts digging a ditch and the Son says, oh my goodness, Father's digging, and he jumps right in and moves the Father aside and he digs the ditch? No, it's not like that. Well, what does it mean? I mean, how do we picture this? I'm not going to have you turn to Proverbs 8, but there's a glorious picture in Proverbs 8. Wisdom is speaking, saying, ever since the foundations of the world were laid, I have always been by his side as a master craftsman. That's a great picture. I think the picture here is of Father and Son working so closely together, working so intimately together, that to separate them in their function and in their works is impossible. Whatever the Son sees the Father doing, the Son is right there with him doing the same things. Point is, Jesus Christ is equal with God the Father in works, but also in will. Second, Jesus is equal to God in will. Their will is one and the same. Notice again verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself. That almost sounds like he's saying he's not equal to God. Because if I said to you, just out of the blue, I said, hey, do you think that God can do anything that he wants? You'd say, of course. Our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases, Psalm 115. And it almost sounds like Jesus is saying he's not equal to the Father, but here's how it reads, okay, in the original. Not able, first two words in this line, and it's a harsh statement of inability. Not able is the Son to do from himself anything except what he sees the Father doing. And of himself means of his own will. Can God do anything that he wants? No, he cannot. Sorry, I got you. Can God lie? No, God cannot lie. Titus 1:2. Can God deny himself? No, God cannot deny himself. 2 Timothy 2:13. No, God cannot do things that absolutely violate his nature. Well, just as God cannot lie and cannot deny himself, the Son of God cannot do anything of himself that is independent of the Father, even if you commanded him to, even if you gave him every incentive and tempted him to, like the devil did. Right? That was the whole point. The devil was trying to get the Son to do something independent of the Father. Come on, throw yourself down. Come on, turn these stones to bread. Come on, you can have everything. And Jesus says, worship no one but God and God alone. And Christ cannot do anything of himself apart from the Father. If you didn't know, theologians call this the impeccability of Jesus Christ. And what it means is that even though Jesus was fully human, And even though Jesus could be tempted, i.e. enticed, solicited to sin from the outside, he couldn't sin. It's not his nature. Not able is the Son to do anything of himself, but only what he sees the Father doing. In other words, if the Father wills it, that's the only thing he can do. Drop down to John 5:30. Take a look, John 5, verse 30. I can of myself do nothing. Same thing, right? I can of myself do nothing, as I hear and judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. And that's absolute. In other words, I don't ever seek my own will. I seek only the will of the Father who sent me. What's the point? Jesus Christ is so equal to the Father that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Why? Because their works are one and the same, and their will is one and the same. And third, their ways are one and the same. Jesus Christ is equal with God in ways. Look again at verse 19 in the last words. Okay, I'll start at the beginning. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you," now most assuredly applies to everything he says here, "the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does," how? "In like manner." You know what that means? Jesus Christ does all the works that he does exactly the same as the Father. Now again, you have to think about this to grasp the implication. What this means is that Jesus Christ deals with sinners in exactly the same way as the Father. No differently. Jesus Christ judges the wicked just exactly as the Father judges the wicked. Jesus Christ saves unworthy sinners just as exactly as the Father does. How many of you remember that great occasion in Exodus 33 when Moses said, "Please show me your glory"? You remember that? Yeah. That is something worth a lot of study. All right? God is upset with Israel, and he says, "You know what? I'm not even going to go with you people." They had provoked him again and again, and God basically says, "I'm not going to go. Go on your own to the promised land." Imagine if God said to you today, "Hey, look, however old you are, you're on your own from here on out." Yeah, we're dead. If you're on your own from here on out, you're in big trouble. Yeah. And Moses, realizing that this is trouble, this is a problem, Moses says, "Please show me your glory. Don't not go with us. Show me your glory." And what did God say? God said, "I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." That's part of the glory of God. He decides whom he will have mercy on and whom not. A lot of people, they hate that doctrine. I love it. You know why? Because it's in the Bible. And I love God. And whatever he says is good, wise, and right, even if I don't agree. I love that doctrine. It's the doctrine of the sovereignty of God in showing mercy. What did Jesus just do in chapter 5? He took one man who had an infirmity for 38 years and healed only that one man out of a multitude of people who were there at the house of mercy. One man. That's Jesus Christ. You say, "Well, man, I thought God's will would be that they were all healed." Healed, absolutely not. God's will was that Jesus healed one of them. Why? That's the glory of God. I'll tell you what, if you're saved, you're like that man. You're like one woman out of 1,000, and God in his sovereign grace chose to heal you. You ought to be leaping and jumping for the rest of your life, thanking the God of heaven that he had mercy on you. Jesus Christ is exactly the same as the Father. However, that's not the end of that Exodus 33 story. God went on to reveal his glory in a sentence, and here's the sentence. The Lord God, compassionate and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, and by no means leaves the guilty unpunished. Seven attributes, six of which are grace, 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 grace. When Jesus came, what did they say? "We beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." This is good news. Jesus Christ is equal to the Father in works, he's equal to the Father in will, and he's equal to the Father in ways. Why? Why is it this way? Why is the Son equal to the Father in every way? Verse 20. Because the Father loves the Son. That's why. Because God the Father loves God the Son. That is why the Son, whatever he sees the Father doing, he does exactly what the Father does, and he does it in exactly the same way. And that's why the Father shows the Son everything that he does. Look at verse 20. For the Father loves the Son, and, implied, and in love for the Son, the Father shows the Son all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel, that you may be shocked and astonished, like raising the dead. No wonder Jesus said to his disciples, I'm sure you remember these words, how can you say, show me the Father? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's true. If you study the life of Christ, you have studied the life of God the Father. Why? Because Christ is equal with the Father in works, equal with him in will, equal with him in ways. By the way, I need to throw this one in. It's part of works. Christ is also equal with God the Father in words. Listen to what else Jesus said to his disciples. Same context. John 14, he says, have I been with you so long and yet you haven't known me, Philip? Philip's the one who said, show us the Father and that'll be sufficient. He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who dwells in me does the works. Now, I do want you to turn for a moment and look at this. John 7:17. Turn real quickly. John 7:17. We're almost done. Hang in there. Hang in there. We're almost done. John 7:17. Actually, look at verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine isn't mine. Now, he doesn't mean it's not his. He means it's not his only, right? He means it doesn't originate with him. My doctrine isn't mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he will know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. If somebody says to you, I mean, how do you know that this is the word of God? Do you know the answer? The answer is John 7:17. That is the answer. The only way that you know that this is the word of God is that by the grace of God, you were willing to do his will, which was to believe in Jesus Christ. Don't go and say, oh, well, I researched all the manuscripts and I checked them all out and I compared them. That's not even true. I won't ask for a show of hands, but none of you have read all the manuscripts, okay? The only way that you know that this is coming from God is that by God's grace, you were willing to do the Father's will. You believed in His Son, and when you believed, you knew. And if you're a believer, one of the evidences you're a believer, you know this is the Word of God. You know this comes from God. So Jesus Christ is equal with the Father in words. His doctrine is not his own. It's from God. And finally, fifthly, lastly, why should all honor the Son just as they honor the Father? Well, because Christ is equal with the Father in works, because he's equal in will, because he's equal in ways, and because he's equal in words, Jesus is equal to the Father in worth, in value, in what he should mean to you. And to be very specific, Jesus Christ holds your eternal destiny in his hand and no one else. Look at verse 21. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. How do you explain that? Verse 22. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. In John 17, Jesus says to the Father, you have given the Son authority over all flesh so that the Son will grant eternal life to all whom the Father has given him. Listen, if you think God is valuable to you because he created the world and everything in it, because he gives to all life and breath and all things, because every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father, understand this. Christ is no less valuable. He does all the same works. He gives all those same gifts, and he holds your eternal destiny in his hand. And the Father has given all judgment into the hands of the Son, and he will decide who lives and who is separated away from God for eternity. You know what the good news is? Jesus Christ invites everyone to come. That's what he does. This is the good news of great joy for all people. Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So what about you? What's the application? Well, the application is obvious. All should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. And the question is simply this: how do you honor Jesus? Do you honor Jesus? Do you respect him, as the kids said? Do you obey him? Do you trust him? The way to honor a king, and Jesus is the king, the way to honor a king is by what you do with his words and what you say about him. There's more, but it's what do you do with what he says and what do you say about him? The only thing to do with what Christ says is believe. To believe Christ means, do you believe that what he says is true no matter what anyone else says? If somebody else says something that contradicts Christ, you trust Christ. It means to believe that what he commands is good, wise, and right no matter what anyone else says. If somebody else says do something different, you follow Christ. To believe Christ means to believe that what he promises, that's what's going to come to pass. No matter what anyone else predicts, you believe Christ. And then what do you say about him? Do you exalt him? Do you say he is God in the flesh? There are entire religions today, and even sadly some professing Christians, who do not honor Jesus as God. What about you? If you do, if you say, I do, Jesus, I would say, my Lord and my God, praise the Lord. That is only true because Christ, in his grace, has opened your blind eyes to see that Jesus is eternal God in the flesh. That's good news. You have been born again by the Spirit of God. You've experienced the great miracle of heaven. The Spirit has regenerated your heart to see Christ for who he truly is, God in the flesh, and the only Savior for sinners. Rejoice. That's the application. Rejoice and have life in his name, a life of proclaiming the praises of the one who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, 1 Peter 2:9. If you're today and you don't see Christ as God, you're like, I just can't see Christ as God, it's because you're blinded by your sin, and the only right response is to confess your sin today and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Jesus said two men went to the house of God to pray. One beat his chest and said, I do this and I do that and I do the other. It was a Pharisee who looked down on everyone else around him. But there was another man there. He couldn't even look up, and he looked down and he said, Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus said, that man went home justified. You could go home justified today. That means you could go home today being declared righteous forever by the God of heaven. How? Ask him to show you mercy. Put your faith in his son, Jesus Christ. Be saved from this perverse generation and trust in the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for sending your son into this world to be the savior for sinners like us. And thank you for these incredible words of Christ, where he makes so clear that he is equal with you in every way so that we should honor him as we honor you. Help us to do that, Father. We fail in so many ways. Help us to trust and obey Jesus Christ, knowing there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.